The greatest secret, which appears in no religious doctrine and is found nowhere in the world's overburdened library of myths and fables, nor receives the slightest mention in any philosopher's system or scientist's speculation. The greatest secret, perhaps the only secret, is that the universe, all of creation, owes its existence to a degenerate little town. And if it were possible to strip away the scenery that surrounds us, to pull up the landscape of every planet, to rip away the skies and shove aside the stars and suns, to tear from ourselves our own flesh and delve deep into our bones, we would find it standing there eternal, the origin of all things, visible or invisible, the source of everything that is or can be, this degenerate little town. And then we would discover its twisted streets and tilting houses, its decaying ground and rotting sky. And with our own eyes, we would see the diseased faces peeking from grimy windows. Then we would realize why it is such a secret, the greatest and most vile secret, this degenerate little town where everything began and from whose core of corruption everything seeps out. From the beginning, if there was a beginning, this degenerate little town has become ever more degenerate, its streets more twisted, its houses more tilting, its ground more decayed, its sky more rotten. Those faces behind ever more grimy windows have become ever more diseased. And in the end, but there can never be an end for this degenerate little town. No more than an end will ever come for the worlds that have seeped out of it. For everything we can know is degenerate from the beginning. Everything becomes more twisted and tilting, more diseased and decayed, rotting from the very sky. This is the law of things. If there can be any law in a world, in a universe, that has its source and origin in a degenerate little town, which has been degenerate from the beginning, if there was a beginning, and will go on with its degeneration, its ceaseless twisting and tilting, its disease and decay, its infinite shades of rottenness forever and without end. We cannot help but wonder, in our most perverse moments, what it would be like to inhabit this degenerate little town where the sky is forever dripping its rottenness like rain, to be among those faces that are diseased faces, eternally peeking through the glass of grimy windows and out into twisted streets lined with tilting houses in a town that is forever degenerating and will be degenerating forever. We cannot help but wonder, in our most perverse moments, as we look through bleary eyes and see the stars that seem to form so many twisting roads through the blackness, or feel our flesh rotting upon our bones. And yet we can only wonder, we can only whisper or cry out in our dreams, "Oh, where is the way to this degenerate little town?" There are those among us who claim to have seen this degenerate little town, although they may be unaware of its true nature. There are those who have emerged from some painful ordeal of the body or of the mind, and then begun speaking of how they saw in the distance an outline of crooked houses tilting this way and that, or walked along some twisted street and felt the ground soft with decay beneath their steps, or even glimpsed those diseased faces, their skin rough and pale as plaster, peeking from behind grimy windows. But those who claim to have seen such things always seem to tell a somewhat different story, failing to compose a consistent picture of what they may have seen or imagined they have seen. And so we stare at them suspiciously for a moment, and then start to walk away, leaving them to their lies or their illusions, which of course are the very essence of this degenerate little town. Thank you. Where is this place? This degenerate little town? What is its name, and who were its creators? Such questions are inevitable, a matter of course, whenever a world knowledge is attained about anything, never mind the greatest secret, the greatest mystery. Are there seasons in the land of this town? Is there a springtime in which great rains pour down day and night from that rotting sky? Are there sultry summers that lay a heavy stillness upon those twisted streets? And what of its autumn, which must be so succulent with all the colors of decay? Do the winters there, in this degenerate little town, pile their weighty snows upon the peaks of those tilting houses? So many questions about this secret place, but as long as such questions are asked and countless answers are offered, the greatest secret will always remain protected. For no questions will ever be asked, no answers will ever be allowed concerning those diseased faces that have gazed forever behind the glass of grimy windows. Like every phenomenon that we cannot fully face, this degenerate little town must remain occult in its essence and serve as a limit for such as we care to know about what is beyond the blackness of night or what is deep in our bones. For, like every phenomenon that we have actually come to face, this degenerate little town can only pain us, adding to our lives a mere surplus of the pains we have known so well throughout the agonized ages of a degenerate creation. But like no other phenomenon that we have ever faced, this degenerate little town, under its rotting sky, standing upon decayed ground, a landscape of a pain that is like no other, may be our last hope, the only hope we have of killing all the hopes we have ever had, and murdering every mystery we have ever cherished, so that we may step forth, finally, into that great shining kingdom of which we have always dreamed. It may be quite likely that we are grotesquely mistaken to think there is anything special, anything remarkable at all, about this degenerate little town. Far from being the greatest secret, the worst or the finest of all our dreams, it may be quite likely the greatest commonplace, the supreme banality. Consider the possibility. Who among us has not found himself beneath a rotting sky? A sky broken and rotting from what has been heaved up to it during every epoch of this earth, this ground that is miles deep with the decay of anything that has ever lived upon it. Who has not traveled through twisted streets and under the shadow of houses, even the straightest of which, if our eyes could only see it, is veering toward the tilt? As for diseased faces, they are ever prevailing to the point of embarrassment. And so much for this civic marvel that is beyond the blackness of night, or resides deep in our bones. Yet if this is the case, as it quite likely may be, what remains for us in a universe where there is nothing special, nothing of any account, let alone the saving miracle of this degenerate little town? It seems entirely natural that, should anyone gain full knowledge of this degenerate little town, they would deny the truth of this greatest, most terrible of secrets, and, as a consequence, as an act of self-protection, would fabricate some other set of circumstances, a more companionable picture of the way of things. This would explain so many of the deranged idols and beliefs that have arisen in our world. At least we would be able to account for the multitudes of mannequin saviors, as one might view them, their faces smooth and serene behind display windows, welcoming the faithful who, upon their death, will enter a department store paradise of the most vague and intangible delights. And some mention must be made of what might be called the sect of the puppet lands, whose highly deranged adherents posit a transcendent universe of infinite and harmless antics that are imperfectly mirrored in the chaos and crises of our own world, which, in any case, will end nicely when the great puppet play is concluded in a sweet bedtime of slumber until the next show begins. Yet who would begrudge anyone their denials or alternate renderings of the twisted streets and tilting houses, the diseased faces and grimy windows of this degenerate little town, which itself seems so perfectly bleak, so in tune with the world we know, forever inclined to ever greater degeneracy, that even the few enlightened ones among us sometimes doubt it to be real. We sometimes imagine that we have heard voices, strange and harsh voices faintly calling from beyond the blackness of night or from deep in our bones. And even if there are no actual words, no actual language we know in which the voices speak, still there is a terrible understanding delivered into our world that only a few may comprehend and none would desire. For this understanding, this message of strange, harsh voices from beyond the blackness of night or from deep in our bones, declares that this degenerate little town, that greatest of secrets, is only a facade or a mirage, a picturesque lie or illusion in the guise of twisted streets and tilting houses. All the rottenness and disease which we sense as the source of all the things we know or can ever know, when in fact there is something else altogether, something which none could comprehend or desire to comprehend, yet which they cannot fail to hear when it slips through the sounds of those strange and harsh voices, when it drifts through during the briefest moments of silence, and from beyond the blackness of night, or from deep in our bones, comes forth as the hollow resonance of a most dismal laughter. Even though there is no evidence that a degenerate little town forms the greatest secret and is the source of all the things we know, its truth and its existence remain assured. And there do seem to be certain indications, certain aspects and elements of our lives that in no uncertain terms inform us of one fact. Sooner or later we will find ourselves in this degenerate little town, whether we wish to go there or not. Because when the sky begins to darken, as if rotting before our eyes, and when our bones begin to change, growing soft with decay, we know that all the ways of our lives have been leading us, and can only lead us, to this degenerate little town. And then we may understand that everything around us, everything within us, has a direct point of contact to that secret place, that source of all things. Dreams, for instance. The dreams of our sleep wherein every mind is destined to go twisted and tilting into lands of swift magic. These dreams alone would make the case if anything were ever needed in the way of evidence. These dreams alone would put us in close view of those grimy windows behind which diseased faces peek out through the glass, as if they are waiting for someone to arrive, as if they are waiting for everyone, sooner or later, to enter their little town.